Argument is Wilson versus United States, Ms. Pinciak.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Monica Pinciak, and I'm here on behalf of the petitioner-appellant Darnell Wilson. At its core, this is a case about a federal defendant who is going to spend an additional 17 months in federal prison based on an offense for which he has been declared actually innocent. Specifically, Mr. Wilson seeks to have his federal sentence recalculated based on a state court order invalidating a prior conviction that added 3 points to his criminal history score under the federal sentencing guidelines. The principal question posed by this appeal is whether Mr. Wilson's resentencing claim is timely. Resolution of the timeliness question depends on application of the Supreme Court's April 2005 decision in Johnson versus United States. Johnson holds that the one-year limitations period runs from the date a defendant receives notice of the order vacating the prior conviction, provided the defendant exercised diligence in seeking that relief after the entry of judgment in the underlying federal criminal matter. Applying Johnson here, there are two components to the question whether Mr. Wilson's resentencing claim is timely. First, on what date did Mr. Wilson receive notice of the order vacating his prior conviction? And number two, whether Mr. Wilson exercised the requisite diligence. As an initial matter, and before moving to the direct application of Johnson, it is important to emphasize that when the district court dismissed Mr. Wilson's motion to recall judgment, it did not have the benefit of the Supreme Court's decision in Johnson. Indeed, Johnson was not decided by the Supreme Court until shortly before Mr. Wilson filed his reply brief in this court. Thus, the district court did not have any occasion to consider the two fact-intensive inquiries contemplated by Johnson, which are notice and diligence. Consequently, the factual record before this court is quite simply too undeveloped to make a conclusive determination as to timeliness.
Why? There are, it seems to me, three periods of delay here. First period of delay is the delay when Wilson was doing nothing in state court. And that's the period between July 1998 and June 2001. It's a three-year period when Wilson was not asking the state court for any relief. Johnson held 17 months to be excessive as a matter of law.
Correct.
So we've got a problem there. Second period is between the state court's decision in July 2001 and the request in federal court seeking relief in May 2003. That's more than a year. So one would think that's just out per se. And then there's the third period between the state court's action in July 2001 and your request for clarification in the state court in September 2004, which is another period exceeding 3 years. Now we've got a three-year period, a three-year period, and a two-year period, all in a world in which the statute of limitations is 1 year, and the Supreme Court has held that for equitable purposes, 17 months is too long. Not clear what more information we need.
Correct. In terms of comparing the petitioner and Johnson, there it was unequivocally established by the record before the Supreme Court that the petitioner completely sat on his hands for 21 months after the entry of final judgment and for 3 years after the entry of the underlying federal district court judgment. Here, however, and addressing the first time period that you identified, even prior to the time that Mr. Wilson, prior to the time the district court imposed its federal sentence, Mr. Wilson had already returned to the Elkhart City Court seeking to have the 1992 battery conviction invalidated. Shortly after the district court imposed its sentence. Mr. Wilson returned to the Elkhart City Court and filed two petitions seeking to have the 1992 battery conviction invalidated. When those efforts were unsuccessful, Mr. Wilson went out and hired another lawyer, filed another petition for post-conviction relief in the Elkhart City Court. This time...
That's number three, the one that was filed 3 years later.
It was in between the time period of 98 and 2000, he filed a total of three state post-conviction mm-hmm. petitions yeah. with the assistance of counsel.
Between the end of, between the July 6th, 1998, when the second one was denied, and, let's see, June 12th, 2001, when the third one was filed, that's 3 years.
Correct.
He was
the question...
And Johnson held 17 months to be too long as a matter of law.
Well, I respect...
3 years is bigger than 17 months. We can't send the case back to the district court for it to determine whether 3 years is less than 17 months.
Well, I believe the facts of this case are not sufficiently developed for this court to make that particular determination. Once again, the district court did not have the benefit of Johnson when it dismissed Mr. Wilson's motion to recall judgment as untimely. And... my view of the record is that Mr. Wilson is quite diligent.
One is inclined to say that the district court in Johnson did not have the benefit of the Supreme Court's opinion in Johnson.
Correct.
But the Supreme Court did not remand Johnson. It held that as a matter of law, 17 months of doing nothing was too long.
Correct. The petitioner there made and took no steps whatsoever to pursue relief in state court. The same does not hold true here. Mr. Wilson... again, proceeding with the benefit of counsel two times after his federal sentence was imposed, he undertook various efforts to have that 1992 battery conviction invalidated. Turning first to the question of notice as mandated by Johnson, Mr. Wilson submits that the relevant date is the date that he received notice of the Elkhart City Court's September 23, 2004 order. Not the July...
Right, I'm sorry, I was distracted. Okay. This three-year period that Judge Easterbrook mentioned, did Wilson do anything about the expungement during that period?
Which period in particular, Your Honor?
Between July 98 and June 2001.
He did not obtain the first expungement order until July 3rd of 2001. So during that three-year window, he filed a total of three post-conviction...
No, during that three-year window, he filed no documents whatsoever in state court. His first request in state court was filed on February 26, 1998. His second request in state court was filed on June 30, 1998 and denied on July 6th. And between July 6, 1998 and June 12, 2001, he filed nothing in state court.
Correct. And the question here, in light of Johnson, is whether or not Mr. Wilson was exercising diligence after the entry of the district court's judgment.
Actually, he did nothing for a 15-month period between when he hired a lawyer. He hired his additional lawyer in March 2000, and his new lawyer is the one who filed in June 2001. He actually had 15 months with the assistance of counsel during that period and did nothing.
The difficulty here is factual developments were not made in the district court.
It's not a question of factual developments. These are not contested facts.
But Mr. Wilson...
What the Supreme Court said... when it said Johnson delayed unreasonably, having waited over 21 months, says Johnson has offered no explanation for this delay beyond observing that he was acting pro se and lacked the sophistication to understand the procedures. So we know that the Supreme Court says that being a pro se and lacking sophistication are not sufficient explanations for a delay.
Correct.
So what would be Wilson's explanation for the delay?
Well, that's part of the problem. The record here does not demonstrate what was going on during these particular periods of time. We know exactly...
But to preserve the issue, you have to have some theory as to what might have been the reason for the delay, don't you?
once again, the record does not reveal. That's why we are asking this court to vacate and remand so that a further factual investigation can be undertaken so Mr. Wilson can affirmatively demonstrate on the record with supporting facts that he diligently pursued relief in the Elkhart suit.
But does your brief make some argument? I mean, again, the Supreme Court said was bothered by the fact that Johnson had not offered an explanation for the delay. So has Wilson offered an explanation? Now, he hasn't had a chance to prove it, that's true. But has he offered it? Has he tried to create an issue? Has he suggested that there are facts which might be developed on a remand that would show this delay was reasonable?
Well, once again, Your Honors, I see that I'm out of time. May I respond to your question quickly? Once again, I point out that the record is insufficient on this.
No, it's not a record. Look, if you suppose you come up and you say, I wasn't given a chance to develop a record. Well, the most natural question for the judge to ask is, well, what is it you would like to do if you'd had a hearing? Why do you want a hearing? What would you do with it? If there isn't any evidence that you have to offer or any theory you have, then there's no purpose in ordering a hearing.
Well, my understanding, and this is specifically with respect to this first time period, my understanding is that Mr. Wilson had taken these various efforts. He received two denials, tried to figure out what course of action he could take next, was involved in the process of trying to secure another lawyer, had requested documents from the Elkhart City Court so that he could make his case and present it to the Elkhart City Court, finally secured another lawyer, filed a new petition, and that's when the July 3rd, 2001 order was issued.
I know your time has expired here, but does the record tell us anything about what happened back when he was originally sentenced in federal court and this battery conviction was on his record and it moved him up in the criminal history category? That's ideally the time when you complain about some inaccuracy in the record. And I know this is a 5K1 departure case, wasn't it?
Yes, so that was involved as well.
Pardon me?
That was involved as well.
So sometimes when you get that sort of departure, you skip over little problems in the case. And
right.
What happened here?
Well, in the district court, this issue was raised, and there were a couple of continuances of the sentencing hearing so that Mr. Wilson's attorney could actually go back to the Elkhart City Court and, file a petition for post-conviction relief.
Yeah, I know, but eventually didn't pan out, but did you decide, or was it decided that because this was a 5K1 departure case, why worry about it? It's going to be taken care of in a downward departure anyhow.
Well, the downward departure I don't think would have affected this. This was just a 3-point difference in criminal history, which moved him to a Category 5 when he otherwise would have been at a Category 4. I don't know if I answered your question.
I guess you have.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Pinsia.
Thank you.
Mr. Grimmer?
Thank you. My name is William Grimmer on behalf of the government.
Let me start off with the question I asked there. With a 5K1 departure case, why isn't this all taken care of without coming up here and fooling around over the 17 months on a 151-month sentence?
I believe that Mr. Rubin, who was his attorney at the time, felt strongly about this and tried to pursue it, delayed the proceeding several times, was not successful in getting the Elkhart County Prosecutor's Office to move on it. And so at some point, I believe Mr. Wilson had pled guilty back in August of 97. And I guess the realities of it were that we needed to move forward. There was a 5K. The difference was a four-level departure from, I believe, a minimum of 265 to 168. but I, so I guess the practicality of it was that Mr. Rubin, I believe, vigorously tried to pursue or persuade local authorities to act, wasn't successful, and we moved forward with the sentencing in March. And I don't believe that Mr. Rubin felt he was going to be successful anytime soon.
Yeah, but here you have a case where I guess everyone agrees that he's factually innocent of the battery conviction. He was in jail at the time it was committed, and I don't think the battery was committed in jail. So why would the government not just say, you know, maybe it's not timely, but
well,
it's all right.
It's a tough case when you're talking about a person's liberty, and 17 months is a significant period of time.
Sure.
One day is a significant period of time if you're innocent.
Yeah.
But we have rules, and some of those rules...
I don't understand that. I have the same question Judge Evans does. Since everybody knows this is an illegal add-on, why isn't the government... You don't have to surrender any legal position. Can't you just, you know...
I know that the state...
Concede that he's entitled to be resentenced? You wouldn't have to
I believe
give up
that
an
we
argument,
operate.
Would you?
We operate within certain rules.
You can settle
rules.
These cases, can't you?
No. There are certain rules that need to
really?
Be followed. And Mr. Wilson needed to follow those rules in order
well,
to be able to get
understand.
Relief.
I understand. You don't have to prosecute people. Why do you have to insist on their
and
full
And, of course,
sentence?
You don't have to assert a statute of limitations defense.
Well,
it's an affirmative defense.
We didn't assert a waiver, the waiver provision, either. So I guess that there was some equity from the government's perspective in terms of at least getting this matter before the court. But there are at least, in terms of the issue of actual innocence, the state court has, I guess, apparently determined that that's the case. And that's all I can address than that. There is a finding by the state court on September 23rd that he was actually innocent. How the court arrived
at that. Had this been known back in 98 when he was sentenced, his sentence would have been 17 months less than it is today.
The state court twice denied the petition. Well, I believe in June of 98, might have been also in March of 98, so twice denied it. And nothing happens then from July of 98 until, I believe...
Why do you want to stick him with this illegal sentence? I don't understand.
It's not a matter of
Justice
sticking.
The Justice Department is supposed to have somewhat loftier goals than simply
I think those goals
gotcha
are being
with these sick people.
I think the rule of law is also important, Your Honor. There's certain
but
rules
that... But the Justice Department exercises broad discretion.
Correct.
So why wouldn't you exercise it here when you know that this is an illegal sentence?
Because I believe that under the rules that have been set down, to afford people relief in the district court when these types of issues come up are, in fact, rules made that in fact, should be enforced.
Well,
otherwise,
there,
we're going
are,
to...
Are you saying that there is a Justice Department policy never to waive the statute of limitations defense in a petition under 2255?
Well, I've been with the Justice Department for a number of years. I'm not aware of such a policy.
But then
to
I
concede,
don't understand your answer.
To concede sometimes issues, such as if you find that the failure of the district court to give Castro warnings is not harmless error, then the simple answer is simply
remand. We're not asking about the harmless error doctrine. We're asking about the assertion of the statute of limitations to block a claim that, at least as we must assume, is a good claim. Right? I certainly understand why the Justice Department wants to assert the statute of limitations to block litigation of claims that it views as problematic. If there were some policy that says, roughly, we don't trust assistant U.S. attorneys to evaluate these, always assert the statute of limitations, that's understandable. But if there's no such policy, why would the Justice Department, in this case, assert the statute of limitations to block a claim that, as you're willing to concede here, is a good claim on the merits?
Well, first of all, we're not invited into the proceedings that go on in state court. as to what was presented. One of the things that I note in the record, you say, what happened? Mr. Wilson claimed in, I believe it was 2003, when he first filed the petition with the court, he claimed that he had been found actually innocent of the charge the first time around when that state court order was, in fact, entered. And I believe that's in his motion to recall. It might be in this separate appendix, I think page 3. So he's making an actual innocence claim there, but he hadn't filed the and hasn't followed the time.
So you doubt that he's actually innocent? Is that what you're saying?
That's not for me to say. I was not.
What do you mean it's not for you to say? I don't understand that.
This is the
kind
of judgment you have to make to decide whether to assert the statute of limitations as a defense. Now, this does have some attributes of a put-up job. This final clarification was granted on the same day it was filed, which implies, of course, that the views of the state prosecutor were never sought nor received. But surely you have to have some view about whether this is a good claim or not to decide whether to assert a technical defense.
I'm going to only argue from what is on the record. And what on the record, it says his charge was on or about September 21st of 1991, the assault took place. I've learned over the years that on or about doesn't mean on the particular date. The assault was perpetrated with a knife.
Yes, we have a case coming up on that.
the assault was perpetrated with a knife. So I guess from the standpoint, and I wasn't privy to the state court proceedings, so I don't think my own personal opinion...
You're never privy to a state court proceeding.
Right,
yes.
Right. So we have to go by certain rules, and Johnson is...
Well,
set
you could
forth,
say the rule is they said he's actually innocent. That's...
Right. And
you're
the
not
going to
go
rule,
behind that
and the other rule is... Well, the other rule is that he didn't follow the time limitations.
Now, this interval in which he didn't file anything, although he did hire a lawyer, so between July 6, 98 and June 2001, do you think there are things he should have been doing then that he didn't do?
Well, the issue of Johnson says due diligence
yes or
is
no.
Proper.
And then
yes.
He could explain.
Yes.
Okay, what should he have been doing?
Well... He did try to hire a lawyer.
What should he have been doing that he didn't do? He did hire a lawyer.
Petition the court again.
Pardon?
Petition the state
again?
Court again. Yes.
He's done it several times.
Well, and he was finally successful after on the fourth try. So, yes,
he
I think
have
he
done 10 tries or something. File every month, something like that.
It happens. I mean, those
you
are the limits.
Do that. That's what due diligence is: papering the state court.
No, it's being prompt in your filings. His last filing
Excuse
was
me?
His last filing before the 2001 date was in 1998. In July of 1998, there was no subsequent filing until
when
June.
Should he have filed next?
Well, he has. Well, he got certain documents in August. I believe of 99, according to the record, of some police reports, and then it appears that nothing was done for the next 8 months. So I guess if I was to answer the court's question, he should have done something, perhaps after getting those police reports, if he believed that they were helpful to his
well,
claim
of
innocence.
Well, he did do something. He hired a lawyer.
Well, I believe he hired a lawyer 8 months later in March of 2000, Your Honor.
So how long should it take for a prisoner to hire a lawyer?
Well, as I understand, the rules that have been set down is that he's got certain time limitations in which to file relief in federal court.
No. How long should it take someone to find a lawyer if you're a prisoner? You have some norm that you'd like us to enact?
No. I would like to just simply have the court follow
What about Ms. Pinciak's suggestion? Let the district judge examine this 3-year interval and see you know, he was doing things, right? He was doing something. He got the reports. He must have asked for them, right? They didn't just come floating in his cell, right?
He asked for them in March of 99.
Okay, so he was actually doing something during
Correct.
This 3-year period. He asked for police reports. He got them. He hired a lawyer. Maybe he did other things that we don't know about. Is that possible?
That's certainly possible.
Well, maybe he was doing everything that you could reasonably ask of someone dealing with the Elkhart City Court.
Well, I think if this court believes...
You must be pretty frustrated. You actually know you didn't commit a crime. You couldn't have. And you keep asking for, you know, expungement, and you get these rather ambiguous documents. You know, you're in a kind of on bureaucratic flypaper.
Well, that those standards have been set down by Congress in 1996.
Standards for what?
Well,
for dealing with the Elkhart County Court? Court have been set down by Congress?
If this court isn't satisfied with the state of the record on as to whether or not the defendant exercised due diligence, my job here is not to persuade the court to do anything other than if you want to remand it, that you're right. If you don't feel that there's a fair result here...
You wouldn't object to a remand.
Of course I object to a remand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you had a right to that.
But you have the right to do whatever you want with this case. I'm telling you that there are certain facts here that certainly...
I must say, this is a very odd view of judges. We do not have the right to do anything we damn well please.
And
we are required to follow the law. Now, if there's a legal entitlement to a remand, then remand is something... It's not a question of our rights. It's a question of the defendant's rights. But the suggestion that judges just do what they want and you can't stop us is not a legal argument about the position of the United States.
I have to follow the same rules that this court does as well.
Let me ask you just hypothetically, under a present advisory guideline system, if someone got a sentence of 168 months and someone else got 151 months, would the lesser of those two sentences be unreasonable?
Again, you're asking me, are you talking about Mr. Wilson or are you just talking about in general?
In general.
Probably not.
So I still don't understand why you didn't resolve this in your office and not make such a big deal out of it. But,
okay, thank you, Mr. Grimmer. Ms. Pinciak, how much time does she have?
No.
No time? You want to say anything further? You can have a minute, if you'd like.
Maybe you've learned as a former staff attorney to quit while you're ahead. But maybe you're not ahead. I don't know.
I haven't assessed that yet. As a final point, I would just like to reemphasize again, the record before this court is simply inadequate to make an assessment as to Mr. Wilson's diligence, given what's at stake.
You now had time. What things would you show if there were a remand?
For instance, again, Mr. Wilson is a federal prisoner. He's housed in prison, undertaking various efforts to return to the Elkhart City Court to assert a challenge to his battery conviction. In my view, his efforts were fairly significant, coming from a federal prisoner and examining prior cases where numerous defendants end up sitting on their hands.
Yeah. Could you be concrete?
If I could be concrete, he specifically pursued on two occasions post-conviction relief. Despite those denials, in the face of those repeated denials, he persisted, yet again going out and hiring a third attorney, going out and seeking documents that are relevant.
Here's a concrete question. Is there anything you would want to show the district court about why there is a 15-month delay between when the attorney is engaged and when that attorney filed the request for post-conviction relief in state court?
What I would like to show is that Mr. Wilson obviously was involved in discussions with his attorney and certain judgments were being made, but again, I do not know...
Did the lawyer ask for additional documents from the Elkhart City Court?
I do not know...
So presumably, but I suppose if he asked for documents and, you know, it took months to get them back, it might delay his filing, I suppose. So we don't know about...
We don't know those circumstances, however. For these reasons, I respectfully request that this court vacate the judgment and remand.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So you were appointed, weren't you, Ms.
Yes.
So we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Grimmer. And next case.